Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, buddy? You got a lot of good stuff?
Oh, I try to have good stuff. We got to get the bed going here. Hang on. Technology, it's failing me. All right. We're going to start off with baseball because you guys love baseball. We're going to get the non-football stuff out of the way because my hands are tied, as I just told Pete. This week, we saw many awards dished out in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani wins the NL MVP. Also, Aaron Judge wins the AL MVP, among other winners. No real surprises. My question for you, Steve, we'll start with you. Should the MLB, when it comes to better marketing this sport, move the awards to maybe a different slot? I mean, here we are just like days from Thanksgiving. Besides GMs, nobody's really talking about baseball right now.
MLB needs to do a better job across the board marketing their stars. We've been hearing it for years. Oh, Ohtani is putting up Babe Ruth type numbers here early in his career. Signed that record contract. He's in LA, huge media market. Sure, some people know about Ohtani, but they've got to get more creative. Ohtani's an unbelievable talent. He can pitch. He's a great slugger. And then you got Aaron Judge. These are the kind of stars that should fill ballparks when they come to town. It's all on MLB if we're not doing a better job of marketing the stars. And I believe it's still that lingering bad blood between the owners and players. They've got to get on the same page and realize that their sport is struggling, and they need to market the stars better.
Steve, I totally agree with you, and what I find absolutely mystifying is why wouldn't this come out right after the World Series or somewhere, you know, close, very close to the World Series? That would make so much more sense. This gets completely lost, let's say it like it is, lost because of the fact that look at the weekend we just had in college football. Unbelievable. Then, of course, you move over to the NFL. Major League Baseball's got to figure out this thing has got to be done a different way than it has been. Get those stars out there in front of people when they can. And I agree with you, Steve. I've said it for multiple years. If Ohtani's on a team that comes into your town, go see him. You just have to do that. That's how good he is.
Yeah, and these guys are phenomenal athletes, Pete. You know, you played at the highest level. Major League Baseball players, that hand eye, it's incredible.
It is.
All right, Pete, we're going to go to you for this one. You did text me about this. We will probably dive into this more later. This past week, a name familiar with Vikings fans in Daniel Jones was initially moved to the number three, not number two, but number three spot for the Giants depth chart at quarterback, and now revealed that Jones has been granted his release set for tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pete, where do we see as a possible landing spot for Mr. Daniel Jones? And so far, Vikings and Jaguars are the two favorites.
I would think that it might end up being the Jaguars, but the reality is people are talking so much about it up here in Minnesota. Is it the Vikings? Is it something where we actually want to take a shot at Daniel Jones? Clearly, he's had a lot of pressure on him. He's struggled. The reason he got the big contract he got was because of the way he played against the Vikings in that playoff game a couple of years ago. But it's amazing to me, Josh, as I'm sitting there looking at this, that this is being discussed this time of year, especially for the Vikings, given the fact that, well, okay, so let's say, do you pick him up? Now, what does that mean to next year? Yeah. Is Darnold out? Obviously, you've already drafted JJ. What do you do? It's a very complicated thing, I think, for the Vikings if they decide to jump in there. But I would say this, be a heck of a backup quarterback if that's the way they're going
to
go.
Steve, before you jump in, I just want to add to that, too. There's so much quarterback traffic if you add this on top of Darnold, on top of JJ. There's just so much congestion with quarterbacks, and I feel like it's a whole lot of nothing with Daniel Jones. I just feel like we've kind of seen him at his peak performance already, and I don't know if we're going to – if getting a new system with the Vikings is going to change anything. Obviously, it worked for Sam Darnold, but I think we can all agree Sam Darnold is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones.
Right now.
Yeah, Steve.
But if you want to keep your season afloat, because we all know just about every team in the NFL, that starting quarterback gets hurt, they're in trouble. Vikes are no different. Starting quarterback gets hurt, Darnold gets nicked up, and he has been nicked up a little bit during the season. Jones is an insurance policy because they feel like they have the makeup to get on a little bit of a run. I'm not saying hoist the Lombardi, but they are a playoff team. And if you can grab Jones right now, I think you worry about next year. If you can get him, he's a good insurance policy.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have money for it, too. You can't just say, hey.
Real money.
We're going to take a flyer on you for free. Yeah, we're not talking, that kind of money. Monopoly money. Steve, we're going to go to you for this one. With their loss in Norman last night, Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama Crimson Tide are now 8-3 on the season. They have the Iron Bowl next week against Auburn. Do you see Alabama still making it into the college football playoff despite being a 3-loss team? Keep in mind, it's OU and Vanderbilt as their two losses so far this season.
Yeah, the loss to Vandy really hurts. I think Kalen DeBoer is on the hot seat. Now, I just want to point out he's from Milbank, South Dakota. He played at Sioux Falls College. I called his games in college way back in the day, so I've known Kalen a long time, and I hate to say it, but Kalen's on the hot seat. He better win the Iron Bowl next week, and based on their resume this year, they are not a playoff team.
It is amazing, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, Steve. It's incredible to see that this is where Alabama football is, and it's not like they've lost their quarterback. He's been playing, Josh. You told me you sniffed out that Oklahoma had a great shot to win this football game. You were right. I was wrong because I looked at it and I thought, you know what? I think it would take a miracle. Oklahoma has not played great this year. Let's be honest. I mean, when you look at some of the losses also like Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt's just got over 500. They're a 6-5 football team. You can't have losses like that if you're Alabama. And Alabama, 3 losses, I think they're out. I really do. Yeah. I don't think they can be in there.
Yeah, and I do want to point out, too, because for those that actually followed it yesterday and watched it, there was an illegal touching. It was questionable, but it was an illegal touching call on Alabama that brought back one of the really amazing plays that they made. It was an amazing catch in the end zone, one toe tap in the back of the end zone, and I suggest anybody go back and watch it. But there's a lot of fingers that are pointing to that being the reason that, like, momentum switched around and the refs wanted Bama to lose. I want to remind people that the second half of that game, especially, Alabama was dropping the football every inch of the field, and they kept turning the ball over. They couldn't stop shooting themselves in the foot, and I feel like that's just a lot of what we've seen from this team so far from Alabama, unfortunately.
And we're talking 24-3. It's not like this was a close game. No. This is a 24-3 football
game. It was nowhere close.
Yeah.
Plus, it's in Norman. It's a tough spot to play.
Yep.
Speaking of former Big 12 teams, we have a tie up at the Big 12, Mr. Pete Najarian. Arizona State, BYU, Iowa State, and Colorado all at 6-2. Who do you see squeaking into the CFP and at the end of the season?
I tell you what, Arizona State, did anybody even think of Arizona State at the beginning of the year? I don't think so.
No.
But Arizona State's amazing. BYU's got a heck of a football team, but they've lost a couple of games late. That's not very good. Iowa State actually still has a pretty decent record. I look at Colorado at 8-3. I don't know how Colorado can get in there. They stumbled, and you can't stumble this late in the season and still have 3 losses. I'll tell you what, if Colorado gets in and then I look over and I don't see Alabama in there, I start shaking my head a little bit. So the Big 12 is definitely interesting. It's amazing this year. This is a really good conference, though. I really like what these upper-end teams are really looking like this year.
Yeah, I think any time you lose at Kansas, speaking of Colorado, that's got to be a disqualifier on some level, because it has been such a struggle at Kansas for the most part. No, I know they're better, 4-4 in the Big 12, just a game under. They can still get bowl eligible in their 12th game of the year if they're able to get a W. But, Colorado, there's all those rumors about Deion Sanders and his son making the jump. His son will make the jump to the NFL. Will Deion follow? Will that be in Dallas? Yeah, that's tough because it is all about the Big Ten and the SEC, really, when it comes to college football. In some ways, in my opinion, it's hard to really take the champion of the Big 12 all that seriously.
And there you have it. That is today's Fast Breaks. How was that exciting, Steve?
I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I didn't want to rip on Deion Sanders too much because no. I felt like since the minute he arrived in Boulder, and I don't know how you feel about it, Pete, but it's always felt like he's had a foot out the door. Like, yeah, I'm going to do my thing here, but I'm not going to be around long. And it still feels like that.
It could be. You know, he came out pretty I think he had a pretty strong statement when he said he wants to be around kids, though, and develop kids, and that they don't do development at the NFL level. So we'll see. I mean, sometimes these coaches say what they want people to hear, and then they say they do something completely different. And I don't think that he's any different than anybody else. I think that's a strong possibility. But, you know, he's done a lot of good things, I think, at Colorado. He's obviously got the ticket sales there and all the things that he has done recruiting-wise and so forth. But he's done a magnificent job with what he's done, especially just a couple of years deep. But I don't know. He's a different kind of a guy as well. So he's a guy who can use the media probably better than any coach I've ever seen.
All right, quick break. We've got much more. As a matter of fact, Gopher gymnastics coming up. And, of course, we all know about the men's gymnastics story over at the University of Minnesota, and we'll get into that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.